You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on WMR.fm, episode number 464. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is my company's senior SEO, Scott Fenach. Today is chapter 8 of the SEO 101 learning series, and today we're going to talk about scaling up. Now, what does this mean? Essentially, you're in this place of nirvana. You've got rankings. Things are looking great. You're making a ton of money from your business, or at least you've accomplished the goals you wanted to accomplish, whatever that might be. Ultimately, money, obviously, but it typically is in, well, different ways you could be getting it. You're there. You've got the brass ring. Things are looking great. Now, what do? Well, now you need to consider growth, but in a different way. You know, you're obviously still going to maintain rankings. You're still going to do all the things we talked about in the results accelerator in chapter 7, but how can you take things to the next level? Now, the first one we talk about is paid, but we were going to mention here is paid ads, but there's really not much we want to talk about there. This is not what we do. We do, of course, offer it in our business, but we're not paid ad specialists, so there's not a lot we can add here other than the fact that you could always increase them and ramp them up. Do you have anything to add there, Scott?
No, not really. We need Nathan in here, but Nathan's not here, and I don't want to say something to make myself look stupid. So,
So
I do enough of that.
Yeah, ditto. So just focus on maybe you can improve the scope of your paid ads. Maybe you could launch two different search engines that you weren't focusing on before. You know, DuckDuckGo and Bing and all these places. LinkedIn, all these places, there's always more ways to spend money. It's just it's a beautiful thing, right? And just make sure you're testing and doing all the appropriate things that you've been doing up to this point to succeed and ensure you're not wasting money. Now let's jump into what we really know here. Organic SEO. Why don't you lead with this, Scott?
Yeah, one thing that's nice that you can't always do when you start off is going after really competitive terms. Usually when you're if you've got a newer website, you don't have a lot of rankings and you're kind of building from the ground up, you target the low hanging fruit, the less, the long tail targets, the things with lower search volume, less competition, things that are attainable. And when you reach that point where you've met those goals, you can start to go after the hard stuff. And you don't want to just go after the top terms unless you have built your site to be so big that you can justify that. But just progressively and gradually target more and more competitive terms. You know, I don't like the example of weight loss, because weight loss is like a super competitive one, but you would never target weight loss pills or something if you're a brand new site in that space. You would just never achieve that. You would throw all your money after this target that's just unattainable. You'd lose money. It wouldn't be worth it. But if you've reached a point where you have a ton of rankings and traffic and you're doing awesome, you've got all kinds of links and great content, you start to reach a point where you can target those really far out there terms, highly competitive terms. And that's sort of, you know, the only time you can start to go after that stuff is when you reach that big point. So
yeah, if you haven't already attained it naturally by having a lot of great content about that. And if you have, then look at other terms that are competitive that might be tertiary to that. Why not? Right. There's a ton of secondary and tertiary terms that are really a great money makers. Why not? I mean, you could even start targeting, well, you know what it's like. You can go nuts. You could target a third party over-the-counter medicines or behind-the-counter medicine names and say, well, hey, you don't really need this. You can do this. We're talking weight loss here, but whatever. It could be anything. And the world's your oyster. The next bit here would be building authority regularly. And, you know, one of the options is creating more press releases targeting at landing pages. And what's next?
Yeah, you can enhance your author pages with certifications, you get more, add more certifications, you know, work to improve your EEAT, you know, write for all kinds of industry publications, which is great for link building and authority building as well. You know, it's awesome. And you can do offline stuff as well, even because sometimes a lot of the print publications will have digital versions of that same print. So you can kind of get a foot in the door in some situations there. I'll let Ross talk about Haro because that's more his space there.
Oh yeah, sure. Well, I haven't used it in a long time, but help a reporter out is what it used to be. I guess they still call it that, but if you go to, I think it's now Haro.com. It used to be an obscure one, but they've gotten so popular now. Anyway, you can subscribe to a newsletter that'll come to you every day with requests from actual honest to God journalists from sometimes fairly significant places, sometimes very small websites, it doesn't matter, that are asking for sources to quote in their articles or sources or to do an interview. Lots of great opportunities. You have to be on top of it. And there are definitely a lot of tricks to learn in order to stand out from the very, like, must be an absolute tidal wave of emails that each of these journalists get. So you have to stand out there is not easy. So do make sure you do your homework there, but it is a pretty effective way to potentially get some life-changing press if you succeed.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. And then we've talked about this a bit in previous chapters, and that's enhancing your previous content. But really, there's two places to look here. One is your previous content that is performing well. And how can you make it better? Because sometimes, you know, you might have content that's doing great, it's ranking really well, but then it goes stale, maybe it gets a bit stagnant and stops to rank, or maybe, you know, new technologies or the industry changes a little bit, and this content that you had, whether it be a blog post or an evergreen page, just isn't up to date and it needs to be. So make sure you're keeping that content performing well by keeping it updated with anything that's changed or adding new spins on things. And then again, on the flip side of that, you know, investigate, I'm not sure what the word I'm trying to say is, your old content that underperforms and try to make that perform. And we've talked about that a lot as well, but I guess it's important to bring up because it's one of those things that whether your site is doing amazingly well or not at all, it's a good thing to do. If you've got site content that is not doing well, you should do something about that. So you definitely want to keep trying to scale that up and just boost it dramatically, you know. Maybe you can get a lot of authority and links and rankings for this content that you've already got without extensive amounts of work. And finally, if you haven't already, you know, look into video and other forms of media. Well, because it's primarily video. Video can do really well. It's awesome. And so many sites are not doing it. I mean, create videos about your products, how to assemble them if there's assembly required. Do a video review and explain how certain features of your products work. If you've got services like maybe you're selling software, go through your software and do tutorial videos and have those public. Comparison videos. I mean, the types of things that a lot of review sites do, but only you're focusing on your own product. You're not necessarily comparing to other products, although maybe that's not a bad idea either. You know, do a comparison video of your product versus somebody else's and really showcase why yours is better. That type of stuff is great. And if you're already doing awesome, you know, you might have some free time to be able to actually get in there and create these videos.
Yeah, I can only imagine there's a ton of opportunity there. And don't think you have to go premium. I mean, there may be some situations where you want to get a professionally shot video, but in most cases, just shoot it on the fly. Or do it what a lot of these online reviewers do and just follow theirs for a base level. People don't expect anything more than that. And it can actually backfire if you do, because it looks like you've overspent and you're obviously have big budgets, and it becomes questionable whether or not what they're seeing is legit. Everyone doesn't necessarily trust the man, and you start looking like that if you're spending thousands and thousands of dollars on video.
Well, filmed on your phone adds a bit of a level of authenticity too, in a lot of cases anyways.
True. Yeah, definitely. Next up is link building. Now, it may be that a high quality link building campaign wasn't financially attainable when you first started out. So now that you're at this level, starting an aggressive high-end link building campaign may be a good idea. Definitely do your homework. You don't want to use a provider that's doesn't know what they're doing. I mean, we took a long time to ensure that what we were creating was going to provide excellent results for our clients and not hurt them. And that's the key. Link building can do far more damage than good. So it's very important it's done carefully. And it might be an opportunity to reach out to another business like our own or someone else that has this already cinched up. Be careful of trying to cut corners and save money on this stuff, because a link can deliver many, 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 many times value. A single link, if it's a great link, it's value. So if it costs you $250 or $500 or whatever it might be, but you're getting thousands upon thousands of dollars in return, it's a no-brainer. However, if you spend half of that and you end up getting a penalty, well, it's the reverse effect.
Yeah, I've talked about stories where you've had people come to us and be like, help, I bought 100,000 links for $25 and now my site's banned. You know, I've seen that happen a few times. It's like, oh, well, yeah, sorry, you're screwed now. Exactly. Because you saved a few bucks, and you got to be careful with that sort of thing. The nice thing about going with this with high-end link building at this point too is when you're starting off, you're just trying to get your foot in the door and get established. And now, you know, if you're expanding into newer and more competitive markets, tying that in with a high-end link building campaign can accelerate that growth. So you can see your growth curve kind of accelerate because you're able to put more energy into content creation and link building in the newer areas that you want to target. So,
And link building almost never should be to your homepage. It's to a relevant page within your website. And the whole article shouldn't just be, well, there's so many things about, if you're going to do guest posting, I mean, if you're going to get a link, whatever it might be, just try to tailor it as best you can so that it's going to a relevant page. Okay. And if the content is that you're writing has to be excellent to be posted somewhere, you've got some sort of arrangement, whatever it might be, then ensure that it's well written and the links are in the right, in the proper places. Again, there's too much to go into to discuss that. And it just frankly doesn't look terrible and look spammy. It's hard to explain. Next up is invest in some wildly awesome content that you couldn't take time to invest in before. Creating ultimate content, I've mentioned this countless times in the show, is the wisest approach here. And how is that link building? Well, creating an amazing piece of content is going to build links naturally. That's the holy grail. That's what you really want. And that's what Google wants you to do. That's about as it's completely white hat. It's everything they want you to do. Make yourself awesome and they'll reward you for it. It's that simple. creating that content and making sure it's wildly awesome is not so simple. But if you take the time to invest in it, you can easily get all that money back and more in terms of time and any finances spent. So we highly recommend that. It's just such a no-brainer in terms of value that if you couldn't afford to do it before, definitely do it at this stage and do a fair bit of it. Another thing we didn't mention is link building velocity, or link velocity is the term in the industry. Don't go nuts all of a sudden. I talked about a potentially aggressive high-end link building campaign. That doesn't mean that you're getting thousands. No. Unless there's, if it's connected to some sort of piece of content that Google can see was wildly newsworthy and has earned that many, that huge spike in links, you're going to look seriously suspicious, and it's going to bite you in the butt, either in a penalty or simply Google ignoring those links, which that's a very costly issue. So do keep that in mind. Ramp it up slowly and then make it consistent. If you have the odd spike, that's probably because you're doing other work that's doing great and is naturally creating those spikes. All right, what do you want to talk about here in terms of local SEO, Scott?
Yeah, so you really want to, you know, ramp up your community involvement. You know, ensure that it's all well documented and publicized. You know, one of the hardest things you really want to do as well, though, is solicit reviews. Video reviews are awesome. Name brand, local clientele, marketing on multiple platforms. Become more intentional with Google posts by posting content regularly. A content calendar synchronized with special offers that you see on other platforms as well that you're marketing on.
Yeah, and I want to just jump back here. I'm sorry, I probably created this list and I'm making you go through it. my apologies. I don't remember when we made these notes. Anyways, that community involvement piece, it can be sponsoring a charity, a church, a baseball team, whatever it might be. And if they're not doing a good job of marketing the fact that you're helping them, help them do it. And do it yourself. Do your own press releases with you guys. If you're doing a baseball team, photos with you and the team, holding your banners or whatever it might be. They're happy to do it if you're supporting them. The coach won't have an issue. You obviously don't want to push it too far, but I'm sure you could ask for this and it wouldn't be an issue. And many churches have websites and just, you know, say it'd be great if I could have a link from your website just saying thank you. How could they say no to that if you're giving them a fair bit of money and time? It doesn't make any sense why they would. Soliciting video reviews, 100% great move. Especially people that are known in the community. In terms of being intentional about Google posts, I'm sorry to recap this. I just realized that I wanted to add some more context here. Google posts are what are added to your Google business profile. We've talked about these in the past. And you could just put in a coupon here, a coupon there, and whatever. Just have some kind of a rotating set of information that you're putting through there on a regular basis. What I mean about being more intentional, though, is ensuring that it is, yes, connected to special offers, but also to any of the other work you're doing with your charities. Maybe you have, maybe 6 months from now, you know from past years that there's a bit of a drop in your business. How can you reinforce that now? How can you buoy that up by having a new service then, or reminding people that something has to be done this time of year? Let's say it's pruning trees. Well, make sure that they know ahead of time now that that's the time of year to do it. Maybe they didn't know that, and try and get that time booked up. There's lots of ways to be intentional with Google posts, and you probably didn't have the time to do that before. You were on autopilot. There's a lot of places to work on when you're launching. These are the kind of things you can spend more time to be intentional upon. We've already mentioned the press releases, and always do more of those. I do mean that the standard press releases that you're sending out to your local community, fantastic. You know, keep those up. you know, maybe once every 3 months if you want, or more if you've got lots of news, but also do some of the other press release marketing that we'll be discussing a little later here. So stay tuned for that. Increase review generation. That's easily done with some pretty phenomenal tools these days. There may or may not be a great fit for your company. Maybe you already have a system that's working great. You're just killing it in reviews. Fantastic. Keep it up. Always keep a lookout for ways that your competitors may be improving their reviews. It's not necessarily a, you know, that person's got one more than me kind of competition. Yeah, there are diminishing returns after, I think it's like 200 or 300 reviews. So don't go crazy worried if you're 100 reviews behind. It's always good to be up there, but it's, again, from an SEO perspective, diminishing returns from a prospect looking at it, maybe that 100 extra reviews will be a difference. So do consider it. Just don't get paranoid about it. Now, they're going to do more homework than just looking at reviews.
When I'm looking for a restaurant, if I see one that has, you know, 4.5 out of 5 and 12 reviews, and I see one that's got 4 out of 5, but 5,000 reviews, that 5,000 reviews, that holds more weight to me, you know?
It does. Yeah, for sure. I guess it depends of the negatives are, but yes.
Yeah. I got food poisoning and died. Well, okay, yeah. Maybe I won't go there.
There's 10 people who had food poisoning. Not done. Yeah. Never going there. Then, you know, another thing that's really cool is you could always create an annual report on your local industry. This could be something that quickly becomes an annual piece of content that they look forward to seeing. That takes a lot of time, takes a lot of effort. Again, one of those things we discussed before in our authority plan building, and we even recommend it to our clients often in that plan, fully expecting that they're not going to jump on it now, but it's something to sort of plant the seed. Well, now they can take that and make something of it. Let's say grow and build an annual report that they can be proud of. It could be about anything from a construction company talking about the annual build starts to, oh God, whatever. I can't even speak the lingo, but there's lots of different things I'm sure they could talk about.
I can't remember the name of it, but there's, who puts it? I see it every year and my brain isn't working, but there's a good SEO one where they go and they interview, I don't know, dozens, hundreds of SEOs every year and ask them, how important is mobile to you this year? And how important is AI going to be? And they have basically a big survey and put out a big report every year on what's changing in SEO and how things are less important or more important now than they used to be. And, but I mean, yeah, this sort of report could apply to basically every single industry. If you think about it, you sit there and brainstorm. I'm sure there are things that change in every industry every year.
Mm-hmm. And if you're the company putting it out, even though you're interviewing other competitors, there's a lot of class and a lot of authority that is applied to you, even though they're talking on it as well. So don't worry about that. It's a good thing all around. Social media. Okay. Well, becoming increasingly active on social media is a bit of a no-brainer. You weren't in there as much before, again, because you had so many balls in the air. Well, now you've got a little more money, you got a little more time, or at least maybe even your internal team does. They can take time to bolster that and make it more impressive. They could hire higher ticket influencers. You know, we talked about influence before. I think it's IntelliFluence is the recommended provider for that. They're a great company, and they'll allow you to connect with influencers that are open to sponsorship. And heck, if they like what you've got, they're even more on board. Just don't buy likes. You know, a higher ticket an influencer is about as close as you want to get to buying likes. You're buying their interest in their, most of the time, if they're a good influencer, they're not just going to love your product for no reason. They're going to say, no, I actually don't like that product. I'm not going to back that. They're going to, you know, have their own mind. Whereas when you buy likes.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop. and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand. And even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
You're spamming. It's that simple. Yep. And there's some interesting photos going around online right now of a like farm. Did you see that, Scott?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it's crazy. It's just this guy sitting at a table with a wall of all these phones hooked up to cables and stuff. And they're all controlled by his computer. And he can just press this and press that and go to different platforms. And they all do likes at the same time on all different accounts. It's crazy. It's scary and it's sad and it's the way the world is. You know, there's always
going
to be someone trying to take advantage of things. And it was, yeah, the amount of effort put into it was mind blowing. They had to create custom software, custom circuit boards. I mean, it was wild. So there's always going to be like farms. There's going to be people saying, hey, you know, I get these all the time. You know, would you like to buy reviews? I'd be happy to create some reviews for you for X amount of dollars. No. I mean, that sort of stuff is just dumb. It's going
to
come
back to bite you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to add one more quick thing to social media, just because of what's going on in the news with TikTok. And that is to diversify. Don't, as they say, put all your eggs in one basket, because I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with TikTok. I don't actually use TikTok. I've never even downloaded it ever, but let's say that you've invested heavily into TikTok over the last, you know, year, several months, whatever, and it's going crazy. Well, you might be in trouble in the next little bit, you know. So, you know, stick with all the platforms, maybe not all the platforms, but stick with several of them. So if one goes down, if one dies, like even Facebook, you know, the people that are using Facebook has changed over the years. And, you know, the young kids aren't really using it anymore. Even I'm not really using it as much anymore. And if you're diverse, you know, hopefully you don't have those drop-offs over time. So
Definitely important. Okay, let's take a quick break. And we come back, we're going to talk about some pretty cool stuff and kind of wrapped around being informed and staying informed.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WMR.FM, hosted by myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company senior SEO, Scott Vanak. This is Chapter 8 of the SEO 101 Learning Series, and we're talking about scaling up. All right. This next section we're talking about is about staying informed. Why don't you take a first couple here, and I'll jump into the... Actually, you can do that in some of the historical examples, too, if you want.
Yeah. So keep reading your industry publications. Hopefully, you've been doing that anyways. Hopefully, you've been keeping up to date. Even if you've hired somebody to do all your SEO for you, and you don't even look at that, keep reading some of this stuff so you are educated and know what's going on. And definitely don't stop listening to podcasts. That should be like number one on your list of things to do. You know, and that will kind of rolls into the next point, and that's, you know, keep up to date with changes at Google. If you're reading the publications, you are going to see what's going on with Google. You're going to hear about algorithmic updates. You're going to hear about, you know, all the things that they've got going on, and you need to know that, especially if you want to, you know, scale up essentially. I mean, if you're at the top of your game right now and you're not paying attention and Google says, hey, you know what, we're going to implement this new whatever, and you don't do that, or they say, don't do this anymore, this is bad, but you keep doing it, you're going to be in trouble. So you definitely want to keep up to date. If you've hired an SEO company, you're not going to have to worry about it as much. But if you're doing this on your own, that's going to be really important. And that kind of leads directly into, you know, embracing new methodologies and technologies. And Ross will talk more about this, but I just wanted to give a few examples of things in the past. You know, back in the day, XML sitemaps came out. That was a huge deal. And now it's just every content management system basically just does it automatically. You don't even have to, you might not even know what they are anymore because it just happens. You know, having a site that's secure was not important. And now it's basically critical. Well, yeah, basically it's critical now. Having a site that's mobile friendly became a thing, and everyone was scrambling to have mobile friendly websites, and now it's a no-brainer. No follow tags, a schema markup more recently has become important, and it's still growing in importance, and it just goes on and on. And Do you want me to actually cough? AI.
I added cough in the notes.
I couldn't just do it. I couldn't. I had to read the word cough first. I don't know why. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, AI, duh. It's everything everyone's going to be talking about for the rest of our lives, probably.
Yeah.
There's a few things going on there that might help out with technology and methodology. All right. So I'll jump into some other examples now of how you would actually embrace these methodologies and technologies. We're going to say that again. So in this case, I want to give some real live examples. I had an issue where, and I sort of think I've talked about this before, but I'll recap it, where I had some clients who just wouldn't get out of their way. I, despite how hard I worked with them and tried to get through to them and get their information, have them approve content, whatever it might've been, they just wouldn't get back to me. They were too busy and they didn't really want to be a partner. They just wanted us to do our thing, which typically doesn't work in SEO. You need to have a partner. You need to have someone who's going to work with you. It is a balance between the client and the SEO company. But, you know, I'd lose these clients occasionally. We were really bummed about that because sometimes they're great paying clients. Sometimes they're really interesting services. Sometimes they're both. So I had to find some ways to build them up, get them the results they wanted without them getting, you know, without them screwing things up and just, they don't know to do it. They didn't need to do anything except maybe spend a little more money. And they were happy to do that. So this one's an example where in order to create more authority for our clients, we built authoritative signals using PR. This is a non-standard approach we took. It's not the classic press release that you're putting out to your local newspapers. It's press releases that are sent out to a set of news sites that we know Google pays attention to that are effective. So by doing that, we're putting out great news that people want to hear and want to read. It's all valid. Nothing, there's no spam involved here. That's the beauty of this. It's, I love finding the balance, right? This is high quality stuff. It's even within Google's guidelines. I mean, they'll say technically it isn't because we're trying to improve our rankings. Well, sorry, that's the nature of the world. We all want to get more visibility. But it's also meant for reading. And it even says sponsored on it. It's very clear. It doesn't matter though. These are signals. Google can see these signals. People can see this news. It's a win-win-win. And it gets disseminated to all these different news sites, just as any press release would, but it creates these signals that are truly going to help your bottom line. And it does. It helps push up our clients. So that was one place where we ran into an issue where we needed to do something. And I found out about this technology, partnered with them, got this secured a license for it, and we're using it. So that's one. Another one is we're heavily invested this year in building out systems and processes that we can really use for scaling up. And so this is a perfect example. I've used AI prompts to simplify that process. For example, I'll give away some of the tools we use. I use TeamGPT. Great tool, man. It's just awesome. It was a AppSumo deal. If you don't know what that is, APPSUMO, AppSumo. And they have some great lifetime deals. And we got this one. And it doesn't matter. Even if they pay for it monthly, it's still very affordable and very good. It allows your whole team to work on the same dashboard using OpenAI and GPT. And it's allows you to see what the other people are doing, what kind of prompts they're using, and all these different things. And we're also using TypeDesk, where I've been able to create, this is where I'm getting to the point of, I was able to pre-create prompts that I knew worked for specific tasks. I can put those prompts into TypeDesk, which is a place where you literally have copy and pasted. It's like a library of copy and pastes where the staff can go into. And again, it's also shared across the team. They can go and double click on something, boom, paste it into TeamGPT and get the same result that I got. And the same quality result, I should say, for a particular task. Boom, they've got that done. They don't have to think, what's the prompt I should use? How should I write this? No, I've already done it. And where necessary, I've added more context so they can edit it slightly if they absolutely have to. This is keeping on top of what's coming out and ensuring that you're streamlining your processes. You require less staff. You're getting more value for the dollars that you're paying, and you're able to churn out solid services and results that may have taken longer before. So that's one thing. That's one thing you want to be doing. Use AI like Midjourney. Midjourney is a very popular example. There's a ton of new ones out. Even our, I think even TeamGPT allows you to create images now. It's an extra fee or whatever it is, or tier, but it is there. And create unique images for your blog posts. This is one way you can differentiate your material versus stock photography. Stock photography places are going to take a hell of a hit with all this happening right now. Finally, keep abreast of techniques to utilize AI for content creation, but in a way that creates a far superior product that is excellent for readers and Google. For example, I spent a lot of time creating more prompts to do just that. They utilize client information in the prompts, so even the initial output, the first output that's put up by TeamGPT or OpenAI, TeamGPT, whatever it is light years better than what is done naturally or by default from AI. If you said, AI, write an article to me about pruning trees, it would. And it would be kind of meh. I mean, it would just be, I'm sure it'd be well written, but it's not including any detail or concise, experienced information from a true, what do they call those people?
Arborist.
Arborist, thank you.
tree guy.
Yeah, tree guy. There's a ton of stuff that's just not written down. Well, bang, I can include that in the initial prompt. It's not rocket science, but these are things that you can do ahead of time to create a better product. Great processes around that. Lots of stuff. Now, what about the competition, Scott?
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. We talk a lot about monitoring your competition, competitor analysis, that sort of thing. Well, in this case, you've now theoretically reached the point where you are the competition. You are the top person that everyone's looking at. And so, you know, you kind of want to look at your competition that's now striving to be you. They're going to be looking at your content and trying to make better versions of that content. And so you kind of have to keep up with that. Like I already talked a little bit about looking at your high performing content and making it better. This is kind of why, because this competition is going to be looking at your top content. They're going to be trying to recreate that and make it better and steal your spot. So you always have to be looking at what they're doing. Are they trying to overtake you? Are they doing a better job of what you're doing? So you want to, you know, make sure to track their results and their site health and see what content they're creating, see what their rankings are doing. You can kind of see what their site traffic is doing, but that's all sort of algorithmic. You can't know for sure. SEMrush is great at kind of predicting what site traffic looks like for a certain website. And if you compare that data with your own analytics data, you'll often find it's not perfect. It's never perfect. Never. No. I've never seen a perfect match, but it kind of follows the same trend. Ignore the numbers and you can follow the trend, and it's usually kind of close. So look at that. And if your competitor's traffic is starting to increase significantly, at a different pace than yours, you know, maybe there's a reason for that. And so then investigate and do, you know, some comprehensive analysis on these top competitors that are catching up to you maybe every, you know, 3 months or so would be good. But find some sort of consistency where you're going back and looking and checking out what they're doing. You know, especially the ones that are, you know, trying to innovate and the ones that are really challenging you. Like we had one client before and he came to us and, their competition basically copied their entire site. They were dominating and the competition came in and, you know, they didn't, you know, do a copy paste of the site, but their design was the same. They switched to the same content management system. It was really very, very similar. And they started to compete really well against them organically. So then the client came to us and like, we hate this, but how do we fight this? And so, you know, this is the sort of thing you want to do. Then you want to, well, you got to be better. Just be better. Like we said before, that's what this whole segment should be. Like, welcome to SEO 101. Be better. Thanks for listening.
That's our new title for it. Yes.
Yeah. That's kind of what it is. You want to be better than this competition. So
Yeah, and it's interesting what you can see. Sometimes you'll see that they're focusing more articles on a specific topic. And that might be an area that you thought, oh, that's interesting. Why are they building content there? Well, they found, maybe they found a content niche where there's not a lot of competition. Well, give them some competition and start writing your own. There's no reason you shouldn't. And since you have more authority, chances are you're going to squash them. And that's what you need to do. You need to keep squashing every time they try and get ahead. Step on those fingers as they try and get around you.
Yeah. Like start creating content. Yeah. Like you said, a new niche, like a good example might be you sell cars. Well, create a section of your site on how to detail vehicles and then have a whole section on auto detailing that maybe you didn't have, or find some highly relevant sidetrack that you can build off of. And maybe your competition is doing that. So.
Mm-hmm. Another part is of overwhelming the competition is create more examples of your impressive results. Typically, this is done through excellent case studies and something that's often forgotten, mostly because people want to put it off because it's not easy to do, video testimonials. You're going to get it depends on what business you're in and what kind of a rapport you have with your clients, but maybe 1 in 20 will actually go ahead and send you a video testimonial. And so that's pretty discouraging, but you can always get them to give you written ones. That's typically easy as an alternative. But that one video one that comes in is going to be worth its weight in gold. I mean, it's incredible how much business you can get from a great video testimonial because they're authentic. There's no way. I shouldn't say that. I've seen some video testimonials that don't look authentic, but the ones that are authentic are very obviously authentic. They're not practiced. They're not done the way I like to do them, or they're not done in front of a professional videographer. I mean, sometimes they are, and they can be done well. It's trickier. I'm talking about someone just recording something on their phone and sending it to you.
Selfie
Those mode, are the ones I love the most. Yeah. Really, really authentic. Get more of those and build that out. And it's kryptonite to your competitors. If they're trying to catch up with you, they're going to be stretching themselves significantly. And you will already know what that was like because you've gotten to the stage with a lot of hard work. But they'll be stretching themselves mightily to try and keep ahead of you in all these other areas. They're not going to necessarily have time to do this. Also, hire outside consultants. If you sort of run out of ideas, hire guys like us. Hire someone that will be able to go, well, you're doing a phenomenal job, but have you thought about these things? I mean, we just listed a few. I'm sure we could spend a lot more time with more ideas. But it totally depends on the business, the niche, your location, your target market, whether it's internationally, nationally, local, whatever. Lots of different options. But hire someone to give you some different perspectives. And it's usually all you need to spark some ideas and get going on your own. Lastly, be better to your customers. One of my favorite books, and I got to admit, I've done a lot of stuff from it, but there's a lot more I need to do to implement in our own business. However, it has made a phenomenal improvement in our retention is Never Lose a Customer Again. It's the book, Never Lose a Customer Again. It is written by Joey Coleman. Excellent stuff. And it will truly teach you how to be unforgettably awesome with your customers. And it's something that I believe firmly is going to go fall by the wayside as businesses adopt more AI and just cut costs, cut staff. It's going to be a brutal 10 years coming up. And no matter how fast AI comes, it's going to be brutal. There's going to be a lot of cuts. And I'm sure customer care is going to be one of those cuts if they're not careful. So be the better one. Make that one of your priorities and you're going to kick ass. So be better for your customers.
It already is an issue. Like how often do you try to change something with your cell phone plan or your home internet plan? And you're just talking to a bot and you type human. I'm sorry. I don't understand that. All it makes you want to do is cancel service and jump ship. The problem is most of these companies, they're all doing the same thing. So you can't just do that. But if I could, you know, switch to a different cell phone provider, knowing I'm going to get a human every single time. That might be worth a few extra bucks a month, honestly.
It's true. And one of the things that I'm actually always trying these chatbots because I keep expecting them to be better. If they are good enough to answer my question, fine. But most of the time they're not, or they answer the wrong one. They're just terrible right now. They're terrible. What?
I think the problem is most of the time, at least in my case, when I have a when I'm going into a chat with a company, my question isn't like a basic question that everybody's asking. It's something weird about my account that's happened, or some unique situation that I can't figure out. Like I had one recently with my cell phone because we have an exchange student. We needed to get his phone hooked up, and then we needed to cancel it because his dad already did it. And trying to explain why and what we were trying to do was like impossible to the bot. And eventually I got to a human, but someday they'll be better, and they are getting better, but
yeah,
they're not there.
They aren't there. One of the things I would love to do, and it's on my to-do list of, it's a lengthy one, of improvements to the companies. I'd love to have a great knowledge base of answers for that we've given to our clients, that it would only be accessible to clients, but then they could go in there and just ask a question. Now, obviously we're always going to be there for them if they want to just do this directly. But over time, I would love to create this into a great database, not only for clients, but for staff. If they have a question, a technical question, and we've already answered it to a client, why not, right? It's just a win-win-win-win. And then use a chatbot and have it train on that content. There's already mechanisms in place to have that kind of training. You can already train chatbots on content. So I see just the difficult part is building up that content. So start that today. I think it's a great suggestion. It's something we are going to begin doing very quickly. Anyway, we could ramble about that for a while. I'm always trying to improve our business. And heck, if you've got a company, you know what it's like. You've got to do that. It's the only way you survive. Well, on that happy note, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Step Forth Web Marketing, and my company's senior SEO, Scott Fenach, thank you for joining us today. Remember, we have a show notes newsletter you can sign up for at SEO101radio.com. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air twice a month on WMR.fm.
Awesome. Thank you for listening, everybody.